Rebroadcasting from stations in Australia, India, and Ceylon is now permitted. They are also available for republication in Latin American countries only, and for public audition on board all ships at sea. Now, here is the news. The first grave news of the war was received here in London just under 1 hour ago. The British liner Athenia, with 1,400 passengers on board, has reported to the Admiralty that she has been torpedoed 200 miles west of the Hebrides. No further details have yet been issued. The Athenia is a vessel of over 13,000 tons and belongs to the Donaldson Atlantic Line of Glasgow. Air raid warnings were sounded in the early hours of this morning over a wide area embracing London and parts of the Midland and northeastern counties. The warning was heard at about 2:30, and by 4:15 a.m., all areas involved were reported all clear. Since Britain and France declared war on Germany yesterday morning, there have been three major developments. One, the setting up of a war cabinet in this country. Two, the appointment of three British Army chiefs. And three, announcements that Australia and New Zealand have ranged themselves alongside the mother country. The war cabinet consists of 9 members, with Mr. Chamberlain as Prime Minister, and it includes Mr. Winston Churchill, who is First Lord of the Admiralty, and Lord Hankey, who becomes a minister without portfolio. There are a number of other new ministers not in the war cabinet, including Mr. Anthony Eden, who becomes Dominion Secretary. Both His Majesty the King and Mr. Chamberlain broadcast to the people of the Empire yesterday. The King spoke last evening, and here is a recording of his words.
A grave hour, and perhaps the most fateful in our history. I send to every household of my people, both at home and overseas, this message, spoken with the same depth of feeling for each one of you, as if I were able to cross your threshold and speak to you myself. For the second time in the lives of most of us, we are at war. Over and over again, we have tried to find a peaceful way out of the differences between ourselves and those who are now our enemies. But it has been in vain. We have been forced into a conflict where we are called with our allies to meet the challenge of a principle which, if it were to prevail, would be fatal to any civilized order in the world. It is the principle which permits a state in the selfish pursuit of power to disregard its treaties and its solemn pledges, which sanctions the use of force or threat of force against the sovereignty and independence of other states. Such a principle stripped of all disguise is surely the mere primitive doctrine that might is right. And if this principle, well established throughout the world, of the freedom of our own country and of the whole the British Commonwealth of Nations, would be in danger. But far more than this, the peoples of the world would be kept in the bondage of fear, and all hopes of settled peace and of the security of justice and liberty among nations would be ended. This is the ultimate issue which confronts us. For the sake of all that we ourselves hold dear, and of the world order and peace, it is unthinkable that we should refuse to meet the challenge. It is to this high purpose that I now call my people at home and my peoples across the sea, who will make our cause their own. I ask them to stand calm and firm and united in this time of trial. The task will be hard. There may be dark days ahead, and war can no longer be confined to the battlefield. But we can only do the right as we see the right, and reverently commit our cause to God. If one and all we keep resolutely faithful to it, ready for whatever service or sacrifice it may demand, and then, with God's help, we shall prevail. May He bless and keep us all.
We continue this news bulletin from London with the latest news of the fighting in Poland. The German attack on Poland appears to be concentrated mainly in three areas. The province of Pomerze, the corridor, is being attacked from Germany and from East Prussia. It is claimed that German armored cars have reached the Vistula from East Prussia. The Polish communique issued last evening stated that Polish troops have recaptured the cities of Puk and Orlowo, and that the Polish garrison at Westerplatte is still holding out. Further to the south, in the Rawicz-Leszno sector, it is reported that Polish troops have crossed the German frontier and are fighting on German territory. They have also captured the frontier town of Zbahin, which was occupied by the Germans in the first day of the war. In Upper Silesia, the second main area, there are reports of violent fighting, principally concentrated in the town of Częstochowa, about 15 miles from the frontier. Polish fighters engaged a German bombing squadron and shot down four planes. Later in the day, a Polish official communique said that Polish troops had been forced to abandon the town. Polish reports deal mainly with bombing attacks by German planes. And the Polish ambassador in London told newspaper representatives yesterday that German aeroplanes last night dropped gas bombs on Polish towns. In later reports, the towns of Kielce, Lodz, and Bydgoszcz are specifically mentioned. Five German bombers were brought down in an encounter over the city of Kalisz. In all, a total of 64 German raiders were brought down. A Warsaw message says that 1,500 people, including many women and children, were killed or injured in German air bombardments of open towns or villages in Poland in the first 2 days of the war. In Warsaw yesterday, thousands of Poles gathered before the British Embassy to demonstrate their enthusiasm for the Anglo-Polish War Alliance. The Polish Foreign Minister, Colonel Beck, appeared on the balcony with Sir Howard Kennard, the British ambassador, and the crowd cheered warmly when they shook hands. Colonel Beck, addressing the crowd, said, "Citizens, in a moment of such historic importance, we feel deeply the brotherhood between us and the British nation. We shall fight until the victory is ours. Long live the King of England." The British ambassador then addressed the crowd with these words, "Shoulder to shoulder, Poland and Britain will stand against aggression and injustice. Long live Poland. Long live the heroic Polish and British armies." It was reported from Berlin last night that Herr Hitler has left there for the Polish front. In Luxembourg, the inhabitants of the frontier district of Schengen were evacuated last evening. A Reuters message from Nice says that the Franco-Italian frontier was reopened yesterday. The frontier was closed against Italians wishing to enter France last week. Traffic at the frontier post of Pont-Saint-Louis, the message adds, was normal yesterday. Declaration of war. Here in London, the events of yesterday opened with dramatic suddenness. Anxious crowds who had gathered in Downing Street heard the cabinet announcement that Great Britain had declared war on Germany. Then came the announcement by the Prime Minister, Mr. Neville Chamberlain, who broadcast from the cabinet room at number 10 Downing Street.
It is the first phase of the European drama. But as continues the state of things, which shall decide for the future of civilization, diplomatic activity is very important. In this respect, President Roosevelt's intervention must be referred to. Every word which comes through the airs, each ship which crosses the ocean, each battle exerts an influence on America's future. And while President Roosevelt was uttering these words, a German submarine was savagely torpedoing a British ship, the Athenia, which was transporting a great number of American citizens accompanied by their wives and their children. Thus, in spite of their neutrality, the United States have already been affected by one of the first acts of this war. Monsieur Jean Thouvenin says, "From the whole world, news reaches the French and British governments, which proves that their diplomatic situation is excellent, that their heroic decision has given confidence to all those who refuse to despair in the cause of liberty. Other essential facts: Japan has assured England of her neutrality, and Italy, who is expected to remain neutral, has once more opened her frontier on the Alps. As to Egypt, she has broken off her diplomatic relations with the German Reich. Canada ranks on the side of England and is preparing an expeditionary corps of 250,000 men. Australia has declared war on Germany and enters into the conflict on the sides of the mother country. New Zealand assures Great Britain of all her support and places all her resources at Great Britain's disposal. On the side of the neutral countries, Belgium, Sweden, Switzerland, Denmark, Finland, Holland, precautions are being taken. But all the articles published by their newspapers proclaim that the cause of France, of England, and of Poland must be the cause of all those who claim to be civilized. Monsieur Thouvenin goes on to say, France, England, Poland under arms are resolved to vanquish. These voices from the outside will confirm them even more in their determination by the very hopes that they can cause to arise in them in order to facilitate the triumph of their ideal held in common. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our 30-minute broadcast of our daily news bulletin with a few extracts of articles from this evening's Paris Press.